If I had to make a title for this, it would simply just be called The Father's Voice. The Father's Voice. I just want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I do thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that tonight, God, even as we're all gathered here, God, those that are in the house with us, God, and those who are watching through live webcasts, God, Lord, you are with us, God. God, up until this point, God, we've already experienced your presence, God. Lord, and I'm just asking that you would just continue to speak to us. God, we need to hear your voice, God, above every other voice, God, that exists. We want to hear your voice tonight. Lord, so I'm asking, God, that you would stay the hand of the enemy, God, that you would, God, I come against every distraction, God, and that you would give us just the ability to hear. Lord, you said, he who has ears to hear, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight, God. Lord, we thank you. God, we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a passage of scripture to you, just a small passage. And then I want to share just a story with you. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 1, this is Jesus. This is the words of Jesus, the Savior of the world. He says this. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. He says, trust in God and trust also in me. He said, there is more than enough room in my Father's house. And he says, if this was not so, what I have told you that I'm coming to prepare, that I'm going to prepare a place for you, I want to stop for a second. You know, I don't know if you hear the same thing that I hear, but in these first two verses of scripture, I hear a voice. I hear something coming out of the mouth of Jesus that, you know, I'm grateful for the words that he's saying, but it's something about the sound of the voice right now, of his voice. What I hear is, I know this, and speaking from my own experience, there's a voice of a father, that there's a sound that only a father can make. And I don't fully know how to explain this, but just the picture that God gave me in my mind's eye was just last night, my youngest little girl, she kept rubbing her eyes. And because she was rubbing her eyes began to get irritated. So, you know, I just went and I got the eye drops and I wanted to put some eye drops in her eyes. And normally I would leave that up to my wife because by profession she's a nurse, but she was sleeping. So I come to my little girl and I go, listen, let me put the eye drops in your eye so that your eyes can get better. And immediately she began to get afraid. She wasn't afraid of me, but she was afraid of the pain that these eye drops may cause her. She was afraid of not knowing what to expect. And right in the midst of her fear, I just was able to talk to her. I had the eye drops in my hand, and all she can do is, like, she's trying to put her head back, but she keeps turning away, and she keeps holding on. And I just said to her, I said, baby, listen. I said, this is Daddy. And I said, I'm not going to let nothing hurt you. And I said, you got to let me put these drops in your eyes so that your eyes can get better. And she let me put those drops in her eyes. And later on that night when I tucked it in to pray for her, she said, Daddy, is my eye still red? And I just thought about the story. I thought about the voice of a father. Because sometimes it's something in a father's heart where there's this sound that can come from our voice that would just kind of create this atmosphere that we could believe, that we could just trust him. You know, I remember times that I would walk in my bedroom and my little girl, she would be bouncing up and down on the bed. And, you know, I'd go, jump, baby. And she would jump into my hands and then I'd put her back on the bed. Then I'd back up a little bit more and I'd go, come on, baby. You can do it. Jump. And she would be like, no, Daddy, no. And I'd be like, jump, baby. And every time she jumped, I would put her back on the bed, and I would step further. And I'd go, come on, baby. You jump, baby. And she would sit there. And I'm telling you, no matter what would happen, I would make sure that I was going to catch my baby. No, I'm serious. It's just as a father, I was going to catch her. And I wanted her to know that. And I wanted her to know that no matter what, she could always depend on me. And I don't know if any of my children are listening, but I want them to know, all of my children, and I can hear the voice of God saying the same thing, that it's best I know my heart. Daddy will never let you get hurt. Daddy will always have your back. And I believe that God is speaking that same thing to every last one of us that's in this room tonight. You see, because we all face those times that become confusing to us. We have those times where we just don't understand what's taking place. We don't know where our next step is coming from, where our next meal may be coming from. But God speaks the same thing that he spoke to his disciples did. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. He says, trust in God and trust also in me. He said that there is more than enough room in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. You see, and what he's saying here is so different than the way we think as a mere humans. Because oftentimes we hear this about God preparing a home for us or a mansion for us. We think about this physical structure. But yet he's saying something so much deeper to us. He's saying, listen, in my Father's heart, he's saying in the kingdom of God, there is room for you. You see, in the relationship with God, there is room for you. You see, I don't know what the world tells you after failing so many times. I don't know what your heart may say to you after failing so many times. God says that there is still room for you. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, trust in God. And I can hear God. This word, trust, it just means to believe. It means to have faith in. It means to be fully persuaded that God has a plan for you, that he has room for you in the kingdom. See, I don't know what the world might have told you, just like we hear these stories up here. All of these stories, every last one of us, every last one of them, and including all of us that are here, we should have been dead. We deserve death. But Jesus. See, Jesus made a very pertinent decision. Ooh, I like that word. I had to think about that for a minute. He made a very wise decision on our behalf. You see, because of the sin nature in each of us, not one of us is exempt from this. We all have this sin nature. And this sin nature, it separates us from the relationship with God. It doesn't separate us from the love of God, but it separates us from fellowship or communication with God. You see, and God created every last one of us so that we could be in fellowship with him. So that we could talk with him. So we could hear him. So he could speak to us. We would get clear direction. Jesus made the decision that he would pay the penalty for what we deserved. Because see, the Bible says that the wages of our wrongdoings, living outside of the commandments of God, sin, the wages of that was death. And the only one that was sinless, the only one that could pay that price was Jesus himself. And so he voluntarily allowed them to nail him to the cross. Think about that, voluntarily. Now, I'll tell you this, and I'll be honest with you. Every last one of my children, they know that I would die for them. as best I know my heart. And see, that's the problem. It's as best we know our hearts. And see, the Bible tells us that our hearts are wicked and deceitful above all things. But he willingly decided that this is what he was going to do. And he was willing to go all the way. He hung on that cross, beaten half to death, spit on, mocked. And he could have looked down off that cross, and I'm telling you, and I said this once before, but he could have slapped fire out of everybody down there. We're talking about God. Come on now. Some of y'all thought Joe was nice with these. He slapped fire. But he chose to stay and to hang on that cross. And then he chose to die. But I thank God that he didn't just leave there. Because any one of us could choose to die for somebody. But are you able to rise up? See, only God can do that. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is the only one that can lay his life down and then at the same time pick it right back up. Are you kidding me? So tempted to keep going. But I'm not. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask the music ministry to come back. And if Colin can sing one of them songs for me, something you got in the arsenal. I know the Lord is giving you something. I want to, the altar call tonight is simply this. If all night you've been sitting here and you hear the voice of the Father. And I want to explain something to you. All the time, the voice of the Father is not audible. It's not always in some words that you can read. Sometimes it's not even in words that you can hear. The voice of God is so subtle at times, but he makes it so clear to us that it's him. And I'm going to tell you, give you an example. When I was, after getting shot, and the blood was just gusting out of my chest, and I was on the corner, I said, God, I said, I don't want to die. I said, I just want to be a father to my son. And I didn't hear no words. I didn't hear, thou art holy, thou art going to be a Christian. But you know what I sensed? It was like just this sense of peace came over me. And I didn't hear any words, and everybody around me was all frantic, but I knew I was going to be okay. See, and tonight, God, he's speaking to you, and he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. See, he offers peace. He offers rest. See, there was disciples on a boat one day with Jesus, and he was in the back sleeping. And everything was normal, but then all of a sudden, there was a storm. And in the storm, the waves and the wind was blowing, and they run to the back of the boat, and they wake up Jesus, and he gets up. And he just simply speaks peace to the waves and to the winds. Tonight, God wants to speak peace into your circumstances. He wants to speak peace into your life. He wants to give you rest, peace. So tonight, my altar call is this. I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet as the music ministry begins to pray. Play and pray. Simple altar call, that if you have heard that voice of God and you know that your heart is troubled, that's unbeliever and even the backslidden, you know, The other night, I got to talk to a man, and he shared something with me. And my heart just been kind of aching ever since. But he says, could you pray for me? He says, I know the word of God. He said, but I'm backslidden. And he says, I don't know why I keep running and I find myself where I'm at. He said, but can you pray for me? And then I began to pray for him. And then he told me that he was a backslidden pastor. And tonight, I want you to know that if you find yourself apart from the relationship with God, God is married to you because he's married to the backslider. You see, tonight can be your night where you receive that peace, receive that rest in your heart and your mind. He says, don't be afraid. He says, let not your hearts be troubled tonight. If that pastor is here, if there's another pastor in here who find yourself apart from the things of God, and even if you're not a pastor, I want you to know that tonight, this altar is open for you. There is a place in God's heart for you. He left so that he could prepare room for you. He said, I wouldn't go and tell you that I'm going to prepare a place if I wasn't going to do it. There's a place for you, Pastor. As the music ministry plays, I want you to get out of your seat, whether you're up in the balcony, you're down here on the main floor, whether you're watching on live webcast, get out of your seat. Respond to God today because he wants to give you peace and it already has your name on it. There's room at the cross for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a very important, special moment. Not for everybody else, but for you. This is special. God says that when one sinner is giving his heart to Christ, there's a celebration, there's a party that's going on in heaven. The angels are rejoicing over your decision that you made today. And I know that God is pleased with you. Peace is yours. Rest is yours. I just want to pray tonight. And I want to pray with my brother. Because there's something about your face, man. And I know that God is doing a work in your life, my brother. And I don't know who you are. But I tell you this, my brother. That if you would simply just believe God. Don't try to figure this thing out. We can't. And I'm going to tell you something. We can't do this Christian walk on our own. There's no way we can do it. That's why he gives us the Spirit of the living God. He'll indwell you. And he'll lead you. And he'll guide you. He'll teach you. He's going to begin to speak to you and give you clear directions. But as you spend time with him, you understand me, my brother? And I just want to pray. And I want you to believe God. This is for everybody here. I'm just happen to be directing my attention to him. But this is for all of you that made that decision tonight. That God is going to change your life. He's going to change your life. He will turn this world upside down with just the one decision that you made. You believe God because he's able. All things are possible. And I just want to pray. Can you come over, my brother? Hallelujah. Father, God, I pray, God, for all of these that are up here, God, right now, God. Lord, and even as I lay my hands on my brother, God. God, I pray, God, that you would seal every decision by the earnestness of your Holy Spirit, God. God, I'm asking, God, this in Jesus' name, that no matter what the outward circumstances say, God, in our lives, Lord, I pray that in our hearts, God, that there would be peace. Lord, that there would be a rest, God. Lord, and I pray, God, for these that are here today, God, that you would now walk with them, God. You would talk with them, God. God, you have given them your spirit to teach them, God. He will lead them and guide them into all truth. God, now I pray that they would be encouraged to know, God, this night, that the steps of a righteous man or righteous woman are ordered by God. Lord, and I pray, God, God, that you would cover them, God. Cover their minds, God, from the lies of the devil. Lord, I pray that you would encamp your angels around them, God, that no hurt, harm, or danger may come into them, God. God, and I'm asking that you would raise them up, God. Make them mighty men and mighty women of God, greatly used by you, God, in the kingdom of God. Lord, glorify your name through these, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would create a hunger and a thirst, God, for you like only you can, God. God, I pray that they would long to spend time with you, God. God, just like a man spends time with his wife and they just talk with one another. God, you would share your heart with them, share your plans with them, God, and that you would hear their hearts, God. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our midst today, God. You're raising up mighty men and women of valor in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, and we honor you. Amen. Jesus.